Y'all caught me singing this song. That's right. I love that song, man. Happy. Man, that's a feel-good song right there for sure. For sure. So what's going on out there, y'all? How y'all doing? This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? I feel good. I bet some of y'all say, you feel good every day. Well, that's true. And that's, you know, that's always a good thing, I would think. Antoinette and Knowledge, how y'all doing out there in the chat room? I see you. All right, man, I'm telling you. You know, today is Chatted Up Wednesday. Yeah, I just came up with that great name. But you know what, man, I'm telling you. I'm really looking at this thing in Atlanta about all this snow and how it's paralyzed the city. And it's very interesting. You know, instead of people being happy that they're alive, even though even some of them were stuck in their cars and things, they looking for someone to blame. Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. To me, there's no one to blame when Mother Nature makes some things happen. Okay? Now, I'm just going to put it out there. That's the way I feel. You know, everybody say, well, they could have had this and they could have had that. Well, you're talking about Atlanta where it rarely snows, number one, especially two or more inches. And also, and we already know, not yet, Antoinette. Antoinette wanted to know, had I recorded my laughter? Not yet. Well, back to Atlanta, though. You know, and a lot of individuals in Atlanta don't know how to drive in the snow anyway. So everybody said, well, they should have salted it down. They should have sanded it down. Let me explain something to you. You can sand all you want to, but if you have the volume of traffic that Atlanta has, especially when everybody's trying to go home at the same time, when you keep running over that sand and that snow, it becomes slush. Eventually, slush becomes water. And I don't care what you got going on. If it's cold enough, it's going to freeze. It's just that simple. Okay, Antoinette. But, you know, so I'm just saying, y'all, quit trying to find somebody to blame, because if you want to blame someone, blame Mother Nature. You know, it's just an example to show, you know, how Mother Nature can stop everything from moving, everything, if you really wanted to. That's all I'm going to say about it, you know, because that's my opinion and that's how I feel about it. So it's okay. I just hope everybody out there in Atlanta is okay. You know, they finding somewhere safe to warm up at, and, you know, they're not out there stuck on the highways. All right, and that's all I'm going to say about that for right now anyway. Okay, and if any of y'all out there in Atlanta just happen to be stuck and listening, yeah, give us a call here on the show, 347-838-8622, and let us know what's going on. I know, Knowledge, it was like 2 inches of snow. That's it, just 2 inches. The people up north, like, really? Really? You know, but everybody want to blame the mayor, and I agree with the mayor of Atlanta. And the mayor said, it's not my fault. I mean, what y'all want him to do? You know, from the last big so-called snowstorm that hit Atlanta, he went out and purchased the equipment, okay? But, you know, it's a whole lot going on when, you know, you got them out there and the air, the traffic is slowed up. And, you know, I don't know. So, I don't think he's really going to blame the mayor or anybody in particular, you know. I mean, it happens. It's Mother Nature. Hey, deal with it. You'll get over it next month or the month after. It'll be something totally different, and you've been to forget all about the snow. So, you know, that's the way I'm going right now with this, because that's the way I'm feeling, you know. So, oh, well. All right. Before I go to jawjacking any further, let me go ahead and bring my beautiful co-host in, you know, because I know she's full of knowledge also, and, you know, we talk all the time. So let me bring her in with all this great knowledge, the intellectual Sister Ngoni. Good afternoon. How you doing?
How are you, Eric? I'm doing just fine.
That's great. That's great. I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. You know, my song, opening song, always get me hype. You know, even if I'm feeling kind of blah, blah, I hear that song and just can't help but dance a little bit. And next thing you know, I'll be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
yeah,
so I'm doing good.
I like it also.
Yeah. That's great. All right, you're coming in and out on me.
Yeah, I hear a little bit of static on my line. Would you like for me to call back in, or you want me to wait till after I do the quote and try to get it straightened out?
Well, okay. Well, I don't hear the static, but okay. Okay. Well, wait till after you do the quote. I'm just saying you were breaking up. That's all I was saying. So what are your takes on this Atlanta situation? You know, earlier I called it a cluster, but I'm going to say situation since I'm on the air.
Well, I don't really have a lot of knowledge about the situation. As I was telling you earlier, I happen to be seeing some of the reporting on at my mom's place. She had it on the news, and I was shocked to see from the air the number of cars that were stranded, and the reporter said that some people that were commuting from work to home yesterday at 1 o'clock were still stuck on the highway. That was just a couple of hours ago when I saw that on the news.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one of the biggest things everybody's crying about. You know, but you just can't, when it comes with snow, once it starts falling, you just can't, you can't just wait till the snow starts falling and then say, okay, yeah, it's time for me to go home now. You know, because it's almost too late, especially if you give the amount of traffic that a city like Atlanta has, everybody trying to go home at one time, schools are out. You know, it's a traffic jam anyway. Then you add snow and ice to it. Hey, that's nothing but a recipe for disaster. I don't care how well prepared you are. You know, that's what I'm thinking on it. You know, now everybody.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it seems pretty extreme, and we have a comment in the chat room that says, and the state didn't learn a thing from 2011 when it snowed about 6 inches. Are you aware of what happened in 2011, Eric? Was it extreme?
Yeah, they had a whole lot more snow then. Let's see.
No, I'm not talking about snow. I'm talking about how it affected the people.
In 2011?
Yeah, that's the comment in the chat room from N2K, who's living in Georgia.
No, I don't think, I don't believe, if I remember correctly, I don't believe it was this bad as far as individuals being stuck on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe it was that bad, but it did shut down, you know, as far as people trying to get to work and things. And you got to think, you think in Atlanta, a southern city, you know, they're not used to snow anyway, let alone talking about driving in it. Yeah, you know what I mean? So
yeah, and I was going to say, I lived in Smyrna for about 18 months, and when I was there, it didn't have to do too much of anything for them to shut schools and shut things down. So that seems to be pretty typical of their response to, because it's hilly and, you know, people can slide and that kind of thing is what I thought it was. And, you know, they probably don't have the equipment that some northern states and, you know, the personnel to be able to handle something like they have going on there right now. What do you think,
right,
Eric?
I agree with you. I mean, they did order some equipment from, you know, to learn from 2011, but, you know, I don't think they had enough going on. Let's see. Nala says everybody got off at the same time, and that was the problem. And Atlanta only has two major highways. He said, but we get ice all the time. The snow isn't the problem. It's the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's basically what happened. The highway froze. You know, the services froze over. You know, so.
Poor people ran out of gas and, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, trying to stay warm.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, now that you think about it, I think that's why it's always a good thing if you're traveling, whether you're traveling from home to work, to have some kind of emergency kit just in case. This is prime example. You know, I know a lot of people probably didn't have any blankets or anything, so, you know, that was extremely close, especially when a vehicle ran out of gas. You know, that creates a very dangerous situation then. You know, I heard some people out getting out their vehicles and trying to walk. You know, that's even worse because you're exposing yourself to the elements. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you got all that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, how many people you think live in Georgia is going to go out and have blankets in their car for an emergency?
Okay, I say 1%. I say 1%. Yeah, and I think that's being generous at the, you know, at most. Oh Lord! But before we get too deep into this, you know, we got to go on and get our other stuff doing because I see hands coming up on the switchboard. So, yeah, I think we done hit a lick now. So let's get on with the Wednesday jazz mix. That's right. The day is Wednesday, and we do jazz on Wednesday. And then we're going to come back and get the quote of the day out the way. And then we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about some things. All right. So, well, without further ado, here it is, y'all, the Wednesday jazz mix.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
The heaviest fighting of the past 2 weeks continued today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
19. In Vietnam, the combat soldier typically served a 12-month tour of duty, but was exposed to hostile fire almost every day.
All right, y'all. That was Paul Hardcastle. Yeah, that was the Wednesday Jazz. Nice and smooth. We had 19. Then we had Rainforest. And then the last selection was Feel the Breeze. So I'm telling you, that was really, really smooth. I think that deserved applause. What you think, co-host? That's an applause for that one. Yeah. All right. That was a good one there. That was a good one. Good mix. Good mix. All right. I gotta wait for my co-host to recover right now. Because she probably was getting her little dance on. You know what I mean?
Eric?
Yes, ma'am.
I was enjoying it so much, I forgot I had put myself on mute.
Oh, Lord.
Thanks for the music director honoring my request for some Paul Hardcastle. You know, I'm crazy about Paul Hardcastle.
Yeah, I know. Hey, like I say, just give me a request that she'll do it. She'll knock it out. For the most part, anyway. But anyway, okay, before we get to the quarter day, let's give us some shout-outs going on. We got Antoinette, Bible Truth by Benny, Bus Boy Todd, that's a new one, Guest 1231, and, of course, we got Knowledge in the House. We got Knowledge in the House. That's a kind of cool song right there. That's pretty good. So, anyway, welcome everybody to the show. I'm glad y'all can make it. Let's see. Are you good, co-host?
Yes, I'm here, Eric. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you. Huh? Okay, sounds like you was messing with some, but I can hear you.
You're not still thinking about doing that album you were talking about yesterday, are you?
Yeah.
Are you having illusions of grandeur, Eric?
Yeah, we still can work on that album. That's right. Oh yeah, without any problems. All right, you ready for my quote? You ready to give me the quote of the day?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, y'all. Here it is. This is where some knowledge is going to get dropped on you. And this is where we get serious and start talking about some things. So I hope y'all ready. You got your pencil and paper ready. So here it is. Without further ado, the quote of the day.
Life is one big road with lots of signs. So when you're riding through the ruts, don't complicate your mind. Flee from hate, mischief, and jealousy. Don't bury your thoughts. Put your vision to reality. Wake up and live. That's by Bob Marley.
Bob Marley? You know, the ganja man?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, though? Okay, I'm rehearsing to get to the quote. The quote is, life is one big road with lots of signs. So when you're riding through the ruts, don't complicate your mind. Flee from hate, mischief, and jealousy. Don't bury your thoughts. Put your vision to reality. Wake up and live. Hey, you know what? That's pretty cool right there. That is very cool. I like that. Oh, man. You know what? Now, this is what I was about to say. You know, reading this right here, this is a quote, and that's pretty serious. It's pretty serious but straightforward, you know. But, you know, how come all of the great writers or poets, you know, usually they done smoke a little ganja and they be in another dimension when they come up with this great stuff?
Oh, you mean the sacred herb?
Yeah, the sacred herbs from the earth.
Don't get it twisted now. Just because the powers that be don't want us to have it don't mean it's not a great thing.
Yeah, I see. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, yeah, that just take us to a whole nother level.
Bob Marley, I think, had a very good outlook on life.
Yeah, he did. It showed in his songs and things also. Excuse me. Yes, it sure did. But, oh, well, let's see. What else we got going on here? Oh, that's it. They talking about something from yesterday. All right. So this is, I like this, especially like the part, don't bury your thoughts. Put your vision to reality. That's like one of the quotes we had last week, wasn't it? About
Yeah.
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 I know that.
Well, actually, I was thinking about the quote we had by Les Brown that talked about when you want something, you have to, you know, you have to really get hungry for it. So that's what it brings to my mind.
That's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was it right there. That was it. That was the quote. See, we on the same length. We on the same side. We're on the same wavelength. Okay.
And you know what? Never mind. I'll tell you time. I'll tell you later.
No, go for it.
No, well, we are on the same wavelength, same vibration, and I just discovered because you sharing with me today that you're the eldest. No, it was on the show you were talking about being the eldest when they asked the question about would you let your sister go out, you know, half naked, and you said you were the eldest. I'm also the eldest of my family.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one. What is that, Tornette typing? Okay, anyway.
It's Ariel.
Okay.
Unless she's trying to say something that she didn't want the rest of us to know. Maybe somebody else knows the language out there.
Okay, that's what it is. Typing in quotes.
I'm in a silly mood today.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm always in a silly mood. All right, speaking of silly moods, we got this young man on the line. He's been waiting patiently, and I know he has something knowledgeable to tell us. Oh, not just funny. So without further ado, he is. Y'all welcome Wesley to the show.
Oh.
Wesley,
hey, how y'all doing,
on,
man?
We doing good.
I'm up here in the belly of the beast, brother. And, yeah, man, I'm up here in the belly of the beast. And I kind of blame people for doing what they're doing, man, but I'm up here trying to ride around, too. And I'm up here in the belly of the beast. And once I pull this heel, man, I'm good. But I had to put it in low gear. So far, I'm good. It's all good by the grace of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really... You got to blame people, man. For, I mean, we had advance warning about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being in the hurricane, man. They give you advance warning. And people that's just stuck on the interstate, man, I can't blame nobody but them, man. I mean, the weather report says it is what it is. And people so busy chasing the almighty dollar to they just want to ride out in this, man. And in my neighborhood where I live, basically I got one big hill and I just pulled it. Now I'm out riding around now. And what get me, I thought the Olympics started, man. Officially hell done froze over and the damn devil ice skating on it, man. When I say the devil, I'm talking about the mayor and the governor. I thought the Olympics had started, man, when they were doing the ice skate damn Paris, you know? How much they skating on all this shit? They skating, man, the mayor and the governor, man. And then when the governor going to try to blame this on the National Weather Authority, man, i.e. code word for the federal government to get in the right weather report. So, i.e. he going to blame it on that Negro up in the White House. That's what he's doing, and he should have called out the National Guard as soon as this shit happened, man, especially on these expressways. But it is what it is, man, and I think the Most High, and I kind of think it, another thing, now, N2 was right. They let everybody leave at 1 o'clock. That's where all the government offices and schools and everything got on the highway at the same time, man. And you know me, I'm kind of like a conspiracy theorist. I think there was another plan to see how they can handle the chaos, man. What y'all think about that?
You know what? Funny you said that because I was looking at it just before I came on the show, and that same thing popped in my head. I said, is this another one of these little play, you know, scenarios? But if it was, this was a good one. I tell you, it was a real good one. But I think my co-host about to say something. You there, Sister Ngoni?
Yeah, I'm here. I wanted to greet Brother Wesley. How you doing, Brother Wesley?
Oh, I'm maintaining, sweetheart. Before you get started, I think the worst atrocity is it happened on the night of the state of disunion, and they cut a lot of people unemployment off in the dead of winter, and also a lot of people that's getting heating assistance, they cut them off, and they also cut off people that's getting government assistance with their SNAP program. They cut $30 out of their check, man. This all orchestrated, man. What y'all thinking about that?
Well, I want to ask you what you think about the fact that we have psychopaths running the so-called country, and it's been publicized that they have not been keeping up with the infrastructure for decades. So do you think that they're sitting around planning to accommodate people's needs, or are they just worrying about filling their pockets?
I think they're just worrying about filling their pockets, i.e. what should be done, the Department of Transportation. I mean, we got the technology. All they got to do is run a heat strip on these major highways where they know it's snow, and then when they turn on these heat strips, the snow automatically unfreezes the road. You see what I'm saying? That makes sense. Like they run fiber optics, they can run another line, another wire. They call it a heat strip. And they put,
It makes sense, Brother Wesley, but you're ignoring the fact that they really don't care about the people, or they would keep the infrastructure up. The grid is about to collapse. The electrical grid in this country. They're shutting down coal plants so they can make more money by raising our energy, you know, prices. I mean, they don't care about the people. I mean, I hate to be cynical, but that's the way I see it.
Well, that's what somebody made a song about. They don't care about us. Didn't Michael Jackson say that? They don't care about us.
That's what Mike said. Yes, he did. That's what he said. They don't really care about us.
All they want is create chaos, man. Create chaos, and then they want to try to solve the solution. I guarantee. I bet you there's more people riding around in Georgia with pistols in their car than they do blankets. I guarantee. More people got guns in their vehicle than they got pistols. I mean, blankets.
You're right about that one. You're right about that, Wesley. But you know what? I kind of got to shoot the conspiracy thing down on this one, Wesley, because I don't think they can control the snow like it came down. I don't think they can control that. But then again, I know what you're going to say. They got that harp out there, so I don't know. I'm kind of wishy-washy on that. But let me bring Antoinette in, and because she's so beautiful. Antoinette, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Talk. Hello, Wesley. Hello, Sister Agonia.
Hey, Antoinette.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on something. N2K had put in the chat room that the snow was worse than the ice.
Right.
And I really disagree with that. The snow you can drive through. Unless it's, you know, you get like a foot or something like that. But ice, you can't even walk on ice.
You're right. You're right about that.
And then when it's dry ice, that's even worse. But the snow you can see.
Yes.
The snow is not the problem. It's when it starts to melt and it becomes ice.
Right.
I mean, we got like an inch last night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it still was enough because it was so cold that the roads became icy.
Right. I'm just saying, Antoinette, where you live at, Antoinette, inch is nothing compared to a city like Atlanta. Yes, Atlanta, they only got 2 inches. But, you know, once again, it was ice. You know, and like you say, once the ice get on the road, it's hard.
because the snow, you can still drive through that.
Right.
But it's just that ice. Once that ice sits, that's it. And
you
then...
know,
I don't even go out the door with ice. You know, somebody in the chat, Benny said he thinks he's going to stay in today. I'm like, come on, I'm staying in today too.
I don't blame you. If it's cold outside.
If y'all got ice down there, N2K, well, if it snowed, and y'all need to go out and salt so that tomorrow morning y'all are able to get out and put your windshield wipers up in the air. You know, where they're pointed up so that they don't freeze.
Mm. See, that's some advice from someone who lives in snow. I'm telling you, nice.
Yeah.
That's right. And she, trust me, they get a lot more than
and
with Atlanta
got. And put it underneath your tires and stuff like that so that you can walk out. And right. Even if you live in an apartment or something like that, keep in mind, you may leave before maintenance comes out to sort it. You need to put some salt down yourself to cover your own tracks to where you have to go.
Yeah, because you're right. Because in some instances, you know, they do not, you know, do anything but the major arteries in the city. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the little side roads, that's
they don't do that.
Yeah.
So that is my suggestion to y'all. I mean, because I tell that to my son, you know, okay, but you leave your house at 6 o'clock in the morning. You need to, you know maintenance isn't there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Put down your salt and stuff, at least, you know, to walk up to your car.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that you got to get out.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Make it safe for you and your family.
Mm.
So y'all don't fall before you even try to get to work. You don't fall on your behind or something.
I know. That's one of the most painful and embarrassing things. Be walking just next thing you know, you're on the ground. Poof! Then you can't get up.
Yeah.
You got too much
and
ice
it's funny
you.
When it's not you.
Yeah, I know, right?
And you don't want to laugh, but you do, but you know, you got to try to hide the chuckle.
I'm not going to lie. It's even funny when I do it. I know when I was in Germany,
but it's
I
not
first
funny
did
at that first moment.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe I just did that. I'm telling you, that's the way I think. I can't believe I just did that. Then you look around and see who saw you.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord have
now,
mercy.
Mr. Talk,
yeah.
Are you a tall man?
Am I a tall man?
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not tall.
Oh, okay, because it's funny if it's a tall man. See, my sons are 6 foot plus, so if they fall, it's funny.
Oh, why is that funny at all, Antoinette? I'm 6 foot five, so if I fall,
and you know what?
Fall,
and I'm sorry. If a tall man falls, it is funny.
I'm going to tell you
because y'all are so tall. Y'all are so tall, and it's just bloop, bloop. Look, it's funny if I fall, and I'm too old to fall. My bones can't take it.
Wesley, I'm gonna tell you why so. I'm gonna tell you why it's so funny when tall people fall because they don't just fall. You know, they like fall in stages, and it's like
it takes a while.
It takes a while
to hit the ground, bro.
And, then you can see the looks on their faces, right? Like ah.
And Wesley, look, I'm not badgering tall men. I love tall men. That's my preference, but I'm telling you, it's still funny if they fall.
Yeah,
it takes a while to get the ground. You're right, it takes a while. Even if I drop something, it takes me a minute to pick it up, I tell you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, while we kick, and let's go on to bring Brother Lowe into the mix here. Mr. Lowe, what's going on?
Oh, not much, brother, not much. Sisters, how y'all doing?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. I was out and about, and I was looking at my wood pile. It got kind of low, so I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go and buy me a cord of wood, a half a cord or something. And,
oh, Lo, I thought you were getting ready to say you went out and chopped some wood.
Can I finish? Let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I went out, and the guy on the side of the road, I said, well, what you want for that, brother? Oh, brother, I'm going to take care of you. And the more he said he was going to take care of me, the more he was pulling my clothes off me. So I said, hey, you know what? I'll find me some. And it just so happened, hey, I was on my way back to the house right there. Most of the time, put it right there in front of me. Hey, one of my neighbors had a tree cut down. It was on the side of the road. I came and got what I wanted. And I just finished probably 15 minutes ago. I got more than I'm going to need. Trust me.
Mm. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I tried to
split
some wood one time, man, and with an axe, and I threw my back out. I said, never again, bro.
Well, you're not made out of what sounds like that, Wesley.
You ain't lying, man. that got me a chainsaw. I got a chainsaw.
Well, I mean,
that axe.
I started out with the chainsaw, but I finished up with the axe.
Uh-huh.
That's your finishing tool. Your rough exterior starts out with that chainsaw, which that ain't no fun, but actually works.
Okay.
Well, I never did. If I see my neighbor, he does it because they have a wood burner, and he's out there with the axe, and you see him chopping the wood.
And I tell you something.
Yeah, I've never done it.
You can start. I was about to say, I was going to the gym. I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna go to the gym a little later on. After coming behind that axe, I don't need to go.
No, I wouldn't imagine you would. Look, I can just hear my back cracking in every different way.
Your back give out, man. Ain't no joke, man.
Look,
no,
I know.
But I tell
I
you
have
what,
back
though.
Problems, Wesley. Trust and believe, I know.
Those are the things that I'm going to say it loosely, most men should know how to do, because you never know what may happen. You never know if the whole grid in your area may go out, and you will appreciate having had that wood. You have a fire in your fireplace. Hey, your neighbor Joe over there, he cold as cuff. But you were smart enough to get yourself some wood on reserve, and, hey, you got a fire going. And matter of fact, the fire, my heater been going all day till I started that fireplace. And it kicked off because that fire went ahead and took over. That heat from that fireplace took over.
Well, see what I do. I keep a cord of wood in my fireplace at all times, so when I need to light it up, then the wood already set. So I'm trying to stay ahead of everything. But I hope y'all pray for me, and I got to try to pull this hill to make it back home.
Oh, my.
I got
you have far to go, Wesley?
Well, you made it up.
You have far to go?
You'll be all right going back.
To get home?
Oh, yeah. I'm close to the house, but it's a hill right here in front of my house there. And, at least going down here is good. I'm good. As long as I don't hit no patch of ice, I'm good now. Keep it in third gear.
Well, you don't have on slippery shoes, do you, slippery soles?
No, ma'am.
Good. As long as you got, like, sneakers or something like that, you know, with traction.
Yeah. But I know once you get going on ice, you got to keep rolling. Don't stop. So
yeah. Absolutely. You put the brakes on, that's when slipping comes.
But, Wesley, I love you dearly. But let me tell you, if you feel yourself slipping, holler and tell somebody, put it on YouTube.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Now I made this hill in third
gear. I know that. Ain't at our houses.
Yeah, I'm almost pulling my driveway. I know now you got to ride on third gear to try to pull a hill, at least in my truck.
No.
I don't know.
No. No.
What'd you say?
No, you don't. Not normally.
Well, at least it worked for me, man.
Okay,
I tried to pull the hill in a regular drive, and then I couldn't cut it, so I put it in third gear, and it
okay.
Rolled good. I made it back home.
Well, yeah,
because,
I mean, you're giving yourself a little bit more power.
And you're on the foam and the snow and ice and driving.
He can't help.
Oh, Lord, Wesley, that's dangerous.
He can't help it. Just like Mr. Bosley said the other day, I think I'm addicted, so I got to find something else to do. Wesley's the same way.
Lord,
I'm addicted. It's a talk show, man, but as long as I'm not texting on the phone, I'm talking, I'm not texting, I'm good.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry, when I said you falling, I thought you were walking. I didn't mean driving and falling. No,
I'm getting ready to walk now, so I hope I don't slip going in the door. And I hope he's not filming me.
It's not always the case. It's not always the case, though, because when you think about it, when you got that phone up to your ear, you listening, you talking, you responding to what's going on around you, and you driving, all this going on at the same time. So it's not always safe to do that either.
Well, I keep the phone on the speaker.
Yeah, thank you. Even if you got a speaker or an earpiece, you know, it's pretty good. All right, let's move on from the snow. And I want to talk about, see what y'all think about the State of the Union last night. Address. I mean, how many of you listened to it? Number one, and if you did, what did you think about it? You know, I came in on the back part of it, so I don't know much. But yeah, you can go first. Go for it.
I did not listen to it, and I'll tell you why. Because it's only going to be more of the same. So hey, no need in wasting that time. We're going to get new jobs. We're going to create new this. We're going to do this for our children. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. We're going to this and that. We're going to And when you turn around, you look at it, they didn't do a darn thing. They said they were going to do was talk.
Okay, she got all that going on. That's you, Wesley.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's going to do my alarm, man. Sorry about that.
All right, go on and mute yourself.
Okay, I'm good.
Like you walking in a saloon or a tavern or something.
I'm good, man. Hey, but the State of the Union, man. Let me ask y'all something. Don't the president got some kind of a budget where he can automatically unloose the funds, say, on emergency unemployment? Can he just unloose some funds and put it in account of people to get unemployment?
All they got to, well, if you want to be honest, all they got to do is say, hey, Bernanke or Greenspan, print some more worthless note, and we'll call that money, and we'll tell people it's in their accounts. That's all they got to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
because
they don't look at it. When people that's poor like that, they put money into the economy to keep the economy going, man. I mean, people that's poor like that getting assistance, what do? They go buy groceries and gas and food, and they put money in the economy to keep.
But you know what? Here's the thing about that, and I thank you, Knowledge, for putting this in the chat room. You know, he says that it has to be approved by Congress and the Senate. Now, with that being said, one of the main things he did say last night, from what I did listen to, was he's willing now to take steps without legislation, which basically means, you know, he uses executive power to pass certain things. Now, once he said that, once he said that, then, you know, everybody started talking about that, you know, it's unconstitutional, you know, he's being a dictator. So, I mean, you know, now at the stage where he is in the presidency, do you think he should go ahead and do that with the history of having to fight the Senate and Congress for so long throughout his pregnancy, presidency, you know, should he just go on and do that and don't worry about them?
Are you serious, Mr. Tucker?
I was going to ask the same thing, Brother Lowe. Are you serious, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think if he does do that, he better make sure he got all his T's crossed and dots crossed where they can't come out of him with some kind of impeachment or some kind of charge.
And they're not going to impeach that dude for that, man. They had a dude that and lied and everything else. Oh, we're going to be
Wait a minute. Yeah, I know two of y'all tried to jump in. What you mean, am I serious? Please explain. What was so wrong about what I said?
Okay. No, let the lady go first. I'll go second.
Well, the reason I asked if you were serious is because any president, whether it's Obama or the witch they're trying to put in the White House the next time around.
Who the witch, man? Who the witch? Who the witch?
You can figure it out.
Hillary.
Any president that ignores the balances of power that were put in place purposely to keep one branch of government from, you know, having all the power and becoming a dictatorship. So if he's going to do everything by executive orders, then he's a dictator.
Well, okay, but for the sake of argument, okay, he's tried to work with them, and they basically blocked everything they could. So, I mean, what choice does that leave him?
Let me remind you of something. When Obama was inaugurated back in 2004, he had a Democratic House.
Yep.
Let's not forget that. So if he's got a problem getting what he wants to get done, I don't know what to say. But if you're just going to ignore the fact that there's a document, a contract, that's supposed to keep these thieves, mafia thugs up there on the Capitol Hill in their place, and if everybody's just going to say, well, you know, he's having trouble because he's black and they're making it hard for him to rule. Oh, come on, please.
Good point.
Goodness.
Hey, hold on, Wesley. Let this steamroller keep rolling. Keep going. I like this.
He just insert this. Now, I put the link in the chat room. There was a live feed on the State of the Union speech done by Alex Jones' crew. And Ja'Kari Jackson and some of the others, I thought, did a pretty good job of reporting. And it was stated that this statement he made that he was going to increase the minimum wage is only going to affect new federal contracts. See. So, you know, he says things, but, you know, a little bit of truth with a big germ of lie, because he don't tell it straight.
He's an attorney. I said, we all know this, and we all agreed to that a long time ago. That man
They're
is a lawyer before. Lawyers or doctors?
All of them inside the Beltway are attorneys.
Right.
Yeah.
Lawyers or doctors. That's it. You go to the doctor and you have a rash or something. Next thing you know, they're going to tell you that they got to cut you open and get something out of you just so they can get $40,000 or $50,000 from you, and the doctor can get his cut out of it. So, hey, and if they leave something inside of you, his buddy that left from home and went up to Washington, he's going to make sure that you don't get for so much money for your pain and suffering. So, lawyers and doctors.
Wow.
Well, not to change the subject, y'all, but on a serious note, we need to offer our prayers to Elvira, man. She just called me last night and say she in the hospital and they gonna do surgery on her, and we need to send out some prayers for Elvira, and if y'all want her phone number, man, I give it to you. But since y'all talking about the hospital, man, so she in the hospital right now down in Fort Lauderdale, man, so I just had to throw that in there, man. We can offer some prayers for Elvira, man.
All right. Thank you, Wesley, and we shall. All right. Let me bring two more people into the conversation. Should make it real interesting now. Let me bring Pianki and Maze in. I don't know why I'm bringing them in together, but I'm bringing them in. Welcome, individuals. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Hey, I'm listening to Eric's program. Ain't no wonder more of us ain't in the hospital.
Well, you know what? Well, Pianki, here, you're going to take your trip now. God damn it.
So Maze and Pinky Beverly come in together.
Hello,
huh? Can
I, well,
Maze
whatever you want to call us. My name is Maze and his name is Pianki. Let's not get it confused out of your chat.
That's right.
That's Pinky
okay.
On the back side.
He has his opinion and I have mine. Can I speak?
Okay, so yes, you
an
can,
executive
Maze.
Executive order. I want to talk about executive orders. Do presidents have executive orders to where they can do things?
Do they?
Hello?
Yes.
Thank you. And so when the president said he was taking the federal $10.10 an hour, not the state. See, that's why Aunt Jane is over there in Georgia and Alabama needing stuff from Uncle Sam now, because their state didn't save the money or make no plans to keep them roads the way they should have been. That's where people get it confused. So if he got executive orders to do things, he won't be the first one that did it, and after him, they're going to do some executive order, too, when you don't have that sorry Congress doing what they need to do, and anything by law, because he ain't breaking the law doing the executive orders.
Yes, he is. He's breaking the Constitution, and he's written more executive orders than all the presidents
he only did 179, and Bush did 279.
Combined. He's
look
written
up.
More executive orders since he's been in office than
look
all
up.
The presidents combined.
No, he hasn't.
Okay, wait. Let's get these numbers
gave
right.
Gave away control of all the waters of North American continent a couple of years ago to the authority of the United Nations. He's given away the Great Lakes to China, executive orders, and you better watch out for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which he put on fast track, because what they're going to do slick inside of that one is they're going to put CISPA on the fast track, and they're putting Monsanto on the fast track in there, too.
Well, one thing at a time, you're throwing out these acronyms. What is CISPA for the people that don't know?
Well, look it up. It's very complicated. CISPA is easy. Just throw it in there. My point is that they're putting things that they've been fighting against, these bills that are taking away our rights. CISPA is something that's going to take away our rights.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sister Angoni.
Yes, sir.
First, those rights that you're talking about,
yes,
they
sir.
wasn't written and given to us in the first place, so they're not our rights. It sounds good for people to say that, but initially, that document, those documents weren't written for us, and we only feel that we are a part of it because it's the lip service that make us feel that way. We think
that
we are.
Can I respond, Brother Lowe? May I respond?
Yeah, go ahead, of course.
Okay, when I said taking away our rights, I'm talking about taking away our inherent rights by writing legislation that blocks us from our inherent rights, not the Constitution, because I'm aware that the Constitution wasn't written for the people. It was written to keep the government in line. It was written to put certain limits on the government. I understand that there's no rights that we get from the Constitution. And I understand that if you go in somebody's courtroom and say you got some constitutional rights, they'll have the bailiff take you to jail.
Well, the Constitution do give you right. It gives you your first 10 amendments is your Bill of Rights.
The Constitution.
Okay. Well, here we go. All right, Clarence. Go ahead, Clarence Thomas. I want to hear this.
So you guys need to go read your Constitution. It gives you a Bill of Rights, right to unreasonable search, seizure, and right to free speech.
It sounds good. It all sounds great, but man, when you cut the fat from the skinny, I'm gonna say it like this, bro. And you don't have to believe it. You don't have to like it. It's not for you. If they make a law that says, "Oh, hey, you look suspicious, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to pat your ass down. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it." You're going to accept it, and you're going to get patted down, and you're going to walk on about your business. But that doesn't happen to everybody.
You have black folks in Louisiana that's doing open carry all the time.
We're not talking about that right now. Let's stick to what we're talking. See, you want to always throw something up. Right. See, that doesn't apply to everybody.
Well, why not?
It's the same thing in Arizona. If you're a white man walking in Arizona, they're not going to stop you and ask you for your papers.
Sure ain't. They're like, we got
Well, wait a minute, Lo. Let me ask you something. Now, give me another example.
Here come Clarence. Oh, yeah, well, you know, everybody.
Give me another example. Give me those examples and show me in writing where they supposed to do that. Now, are somebody arbitrary, breaking the law, or not doing things correctly, and taking things on? I want to see it in writing where they say, you supposed to stop the black man and let the white man go through. Show it to me in writing.
Well,
you don't have to show it in writing.
A lot of them have been to court in order for them to see. That's why they go to court.
If it's not in writing, that's somebody getting away doing something to you they're not supposed to do.
Yeah. That's an unwritten rule, man.
Exactly. What do you do when the governors and the mayors of these towns and states have said, oh, well, you know, if they didn't do anything, then they don't have anything to worry about. And more especially the foolish Negroes that feel that they're beyond that, they say the exact same thing. What do you think
about that?
No black man got a right that a white man posed to respect. That's an unwritten rule, right?
Banker don't want to hear that, man.
That's very interesting, very interesting. But you know
I want to say one more thing about the Constitution, please.
Okay, hold on, Sister Ingoni. Hold on, and I'll let you speak. Hey, P. Yankee, if you go to the Arizona state, whatever constitution or whatever law they have, they actually do have that in writing to where they can stop individuals and ask for their papers. I mean, because it was a big thing a couple of years ago. And they had a lot of it thrown out, but the main thing that they were trying to keep, they got to keep. To where if they pull over anybody, they can actually ask you for your papers.
What they was having in there, well, they have a right to. If they suspect somebody illegal, if they have somebody. Well, didn't you tell me they just passed a law in Arizona?
Okay. Hush. Go ahead, Sister Ingoni.
I just wanted to say that the Constitution does not give any persons, people, men or women, any individual rights. A Constitution is written by a constitutor for the purpose of passing a debt on to the people. It's a contract between the international bankers and the crooked government.
Okay. I understand all that. I do.
I was talking to Beyonce.
Okay. Well,
Constitution
yeah.
is not no contract between international bankers and all that stuff. Where show
that
me the bylaws. Where's the bylaws to the corporation then?
I don't know any bylaws, Bianchi.
Corporations have to have a bylaw.
Excuse
Mine
me.
Mine do.
Organic Act of 1871 created the U.S. Inc. The Organic Act of 1871 created U.S. Inc. But that's not what we weren't talking about, bylaws of a corporation. I made a statement about the Constitution not giving us individual rights. That's what I said. It's
well, you have your Bill of Rights.
Let me finish,
huh?
Please. It's a contract between the international bankers because the government borrowed money from them to do World War, well, first of all, the War of 1812, the War of the First World, the Civil War, and all the wars that they've done, they borrowed funds from the international bankers. So they had to have, collateral. And they collateralized the land, they collateralized all the property,
and
then they had to collateralize us. So that's what the Constitution was.
Great point. And you know what? When I was working outside a little while ago, I was thinking about that exact same thing. You're telling the truth.
Telling the truth about what?
About what a Constitution is. It doesn't have anything to do with giving individual rights to people.
Stay up, Maze. Don't take a nap right now.
I'm not taking a nap.
What are you saying?
The rights are big business, man. The rights of the corporation. That's what this is all about, man. People don't have no rights no more.
But man. They don't have them no more. They never had them in the first place.
And this is, I'll agree with that part of what you just said.
So then.
But listen, if Obama or whomever says, I know we're going to have this big meeting and, you know, they're going to be protesters, but put them, make a law, pass a bill, to where they have
Can I finish talking?
You know, I like coming on this show, but I don't appreciate if I'm saying something, you're going to cut it off just because you got to say what you got to say right then. I don't do that to you. All I'm saying is, hey, if he says, hey, let's say, yeah, they can exercise their rights, I'll be at 1909 Industrial Boulevard, but they'll be at 2759, and that's as close as they can get. So it doesn't matter. So, hey, no harm, no foul. These people do what they want to do, regardless of what anybody might think about it.
And you do not break the law with some of the laws that they have, and that's why you follow them, because you're not trying to go to jail, I would suppose.
Well, you speak for yourself.
Because your state got laws. Everybody's state got laws, and they have different laws than other states. And if you don't abide by them, guess what? You'll be in the pen. And I will see you going around breaking them.
Yeah, if you don't have no rights, don't pay your taxes, your federal taxes.
Yeah.
Well,
wait. I got to address that. Are you serious, Bianchi?
No, people who say that they don't have no rights, they aren't a citizen and all this stuff, don't pay your federal taxes and see what happens.
So that's your answer. I have many more, but this one. I'm sure. I'll use me for an example. Like I said on many shows before, I was a young man with a nice car. And I was riding, minding my own business. I was stopped by a couple of white cops. Whose car is this? How can you afford this car? Blah, 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 blah. The same exact car a white boy that I graduated with had in high school. He didn't go through all of that. And he wasn't going to go through all of that. So like I said, you can sit here and run all this game all you want to, man, for the conversation's sake, or you can tell the truth about it, bro.
They got a right to stop you. They was under suspicious.
Why?
But Lowe, that happened to us, and we went to court and fought it, and guess what? They threw it out.
Well, I'm going to write a black
man. All we need is a badge number. And you file a complaint.
There is nothing to throw out if there's not an arrest made. If you're just harassed.
It happened to us when we got a ticket and we went to court and we fought it.
I didn't get a ticket. I was just harassed.
Well, you know,
I had one stop me once when I was riding my BMW motorcycle. He said he wanted to see the new model that came out.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Well, that's fine. And I'm sure you put your best Clarence Thomas on. Like, yeah, sir. Clarence Thomas is a
good jurist. So.
Mm-hmm. Clarence Thomas knows his place. He knows his place.
They don't have a right to stop you because they don't have jurisdiction over you until you give it to them. Everything they do to us, we have to consent.
Do they have a right to take from your paycheck called income tax?
There's no such thing as an income tax. The Supreme Court.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Don't pay it and come back and tell us how you. Well, no, I'll let you. Tell me when I can talk.
Income tax is unconstitutional, and you're paying a usury fee for using a private foreign currency owned by the Federal Reserve banking cartel.
Right.
The Supreme Court has ruled 3 times that income tax is unconstitutional.
You're too big.
Give me the cases. Where are the cases? Where's the president?
I don't have to provide you with that information.
I ain't got nothing else to say about it. The only thing I can say is don't pay your taxes and have your time to do with the Internal Revenue Service.
I said was you're not paying income tax. Yes, we know these.
Don't pay your income tax. Go out and get paid $100 for doing a job. Don't pay taxes on it. See how the Internal Revenue Service deals.
Nobody wouldn't go to jail if you didn't pay taxes. I said you wasn't paying income tax, Bianchi.
I said don't pay income tax, or salary or wages or dividends, and see what the Internal Revenue Service would do with you.
I said you're not paying income tax, you're paying a usury fee, because that's what this is all about, usury.
So you can call it whatever you want to, but if you make some money, you're going to pay a tax on it. You can call it usury, hallelujah, whatever. You're going to pay taxes on it.
That's not the issue, Bianchi, and you know it's not.
It is. The issue is about paying on what they call your income.
The Supreme Court has ruled that income tax is unconstitutional, and they have ruled that 3 times, Bianchi.
Well, show us the cases.
I don't have to show you anything.
Well, then what are you talking about? How are we supposed to know then?
Say it if I hadn't already read it myself. Now,
I know some people. I know some people that's in jail, stayed in jail for that. One was a lady that used to be a former IRS agent.
Bianchi, I didn't say they wouldn't put you in jail if you didn't pay. I said it was unconstitutional. Take the wax out of
here.
Well,
if it's unconstitutional, how are they putting you in jail?
They're thugs. They're thieves.
Then they're going to sprinkle some. Then they're going to sprinkle.
That word right there that she used, thugs, you know, most people, when they hear that word, they think of some young black hoodlum walking with his pants hanging off of himself. But those are not thugs. Those are just, you know, fools. Those are idiots. The thugs are the ones that wear suits every day, and they speak very, very, very well. And they're very articulate. But the thing about it is they don't have your best interest at heart at all. You may think they do because they're...
And, Brother Lowe, they're responsible for killing millions of people, and they're responsible for billions and billions of people living in poverty. And they walk around and drive around in their big fancy cars and live in their big fine houses, and they're above reproach.
Absolutely. The day. Right, what day are you talking about?
You're talking about the people that's making the rules of oligarchy. But the only right
what
we
day,
got is
what
right
day
to
you talking
silent.
About?
Only right we got is the right to remain silent, man. That's it.
What day? I still want to know who this day is. At least I can identify him.
Yeah, all right.
You heard about 85, what's that, 85% or something like that. 85 families got more wealth than everybody on this planet. 85 families. Y'all heard about that?
Well, you don't have to go. You got people in your own, probably in your block got more wealth than you do.
You can talk about all
supposed wealth. Is it against the law to have wealth?
You don't have any wealth, Bianchi. You just think you have wealth because everything you exchange Federal Reserve notes with, there are secret liens on it because the Federal Reserve owns it all. They own you, too.
Well, for the people that don't know that the Federal Reserve owns them, then what? If they, you got people that don't think that they own them.
You don't want your Federal Reserve notes, give them to me.
That don't make it so.
If them Federal Reserve notes are nasty and stinky, give them to me. I'll take them.
Okay,
Pianchi.
Good book for you. I know Mays don't believe in books, but here's a good book for you.
I didn't say I didn't believe in books.
Own it
right
all, including you. I mean, toxic currency. They own it all, including you, by means of a toxic currency. And that is written by Ronald McDonald and Robert.
That clown.
Ronald and Robert throw their money in the garbage. Or they
it was a happy meal
you mean,
Ronald McDonald.
You mean that clown with the big red nose?
All you got to do, Bianchi, is Google secret means and read up on it yourself.
All right. Well, I'll do that. In the meantime, I'll be ducking so I don't get hit in the head with a contrail.
All right, hold on. I want to bring Sister Ottawa on the line, and she has a question for
queen.
Mr. Pianchi.
Hello, everyone.
Hey,
all
here
the queen.
I wanted to
queen.
Ask the young man by the name of Pianchi. You seem to be quite astute. Could you please explain the national debt to me?
Playing the national debt to you.
Yes.
National debt is the difference between your revenue and your expenditures that ended in September the 30th. If you had less revenue than you did expenditure, then the difference is called a debt.
So you're saying that the debt that we have in after 2013 has accumulated to several hundred trillion dollars, that this is money that we spent during the year of 2013 and that we had a greater debt than we had income. Is that what you're saying?
The debt is not several hundred trillion dollars. When you spend more than you take in, you go into a deficit. If you don't clear that deficit up by the time the fiscal year is over with, then it goes into a column that's called debt.
So the national debt that we have, we created in 2013. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, you created a deficit in 2013, and that deficit was added on to the previous deficit. That's called a debt.
I don't think that's correct, sir.
Well, why'd you ask me that?
Because we can go back.
Why'd you ask me that?
I'm sorry.
Why did you ask?
Because I just wanted to know what it is. We're talking about wealth on the phone, and you seem to have some information, and I'm curious about how that debt was created.
Why?
Well, the debt was created because you spend more money in a fiscal year than what you take in. Your fiscal year starts from October the 1st of 2013. It would end September the 30th, 2014. If
so
you
the
take
money
in,
that we spend,
if you take
so
in,
the,
well, let
the,
me finish.
The dollars that we spend.
Let me,
okay.
Not you. If the Internal Revenue Service take in and taxes, corporate taxes and fees, if that amounts to $3.2 trillion, and on the other hand, you spend $4.2 trillion, now you're $1 trillion deficit. If you don't have the money to pay for it by the time September the 30th roll around, then it goes into a column, say, well, this is debt we owe.
Well, every time we pass a fiat note, aren't we creating debt?
Who passed a fiat note? No, you're not creating no debt. You're paying a debt.
With what?
National debt is $17.3 trillion. Federal government took in $2.8
trillion. We're not creating a debt when we pass the fiat note.
Well, the debt is already created. You talking about deficit spending. When they go out and create debt, then they print money to match the debt. That's yeah, the United States has been guilty of doing that. That's why couldn't get such a jump on other countries in the world.
All right.
The debt that you should be concerned about is the unfunded liabilities, which is $127.6 trillion. That consists of Social Security, prescription drugs, and Medicare liability. Social Security and Medicare is what you have already paid for, that you expect to receive at some point in time in the future. When the time comes for you to go knocking on the door for what you have paid for and expect to receive, and they don't have it, well, that's when problems begin.
And unemployment insurance, too, man. We pay for that, too.
Unemployment insurance only runs for a certain period of time. If you stop working, if you get a job and you make $3,600,
then that should that cover you, man.
It covers you. If you don't take it out within a year's time, you lose it. When it's unemployment with the state.
Okay, and where can I find that at, Pinky?
What do you mean, where can you find that at?
Where can
That's
I
right.
find
it?
Go to the U.S. Treasury. They'll tell you all about it.
But I want to be able to read
Office
it myself.
Office of Budget and Management.
I
the
want
U.S.
To be able
Treasury
to read it
was closed in 1921. OPM. You have Department of the Treasury now.
Ooh.
Yeah, where can we find that at, Bianca? We want to see
Office
back
of and right. Go to the Office of Budget and Management website. They'll tell you all about it.
All right, we're going to have to try that one out, y'all. All right. All right. Anything else about the I guess we was talking about the speech last night, but anybody else before we move
yes.
on to it?
The so-called national debt that the debt clock represents, if you all have seen the debt clock, that's what they owe us because we ain't never been paid.
I figured they owe you.
Oh, wait, hold on. I mean, when you say us, please.
Who is us now?
Clarify.
The laborers.
Okay.
The United States does not have its own currency anymore, and it hasn't since it filed bankruptcy under FDR. House Joint Resolution 192. You can go look that up, Pianchi.
Well, when you use your credit card, do you have currency, or do you put it on credit?
I'm not going to answer stupid questions. Okay, because you like to play with words, and I'm not playing with words. I'm telling you what I read and what I understand. If you're interested, I'll be glad to share it, but otherwise, I'm not going to play mind games. House Joint Resolution 192, which has been superseded by Public Law 7310, is proof of the bankruptcy and that the United States does not have its own currency and that we're using foreign currency that's owned by the Federal Reserve. It's considered a private foreign currency. That's why we are under international law and we're under Admiralty Maritime Law. They have two sets of books. And if you watch the link of the Corporation Nation documentary that I put in there, it explains all of that and shows you where they have two sets of books, all the way from the municipal, township, city. All of them are corporations, and they all have two sets of books. There's something called all corporations have to give a report every year, and it's called the financial annual report. But what they don't tell you about is the other one, which is 300 pages long, and the name will come to me in just a second. It's
comprehensive.
Thank you. The comprehensive financial annual report. And it's online for each city in each state. You can read it yourself. But go down to the bottom where they hide all the dirt. You can even go to your city council building and ask for one. They're going to give you the runaround and pretend they don't know what you're talking about. But you can get one.
So what does it mean?
It means that these people that are claiming
what
to be
people?
Broke.
I mean, what people are you talking about?
The municipal government people, the state.
So you saying that your municipal government, is broke?
Tell me who they is, and I'm telling you who they are. They are the municipal government people, the city government people, the township government, corporate people. All have two sets of books, and if you read their comprehensive financial annual report, you will see it in there.
So you say that the municipal government people, are those the people that you vote for and put in office?
You know what? You can vote all you want to. You're wasting your gas and your time, okay? That's not going to change anything.
That means that you complicit in the crime then.
No,
you
it
voted
just
for
them. Means that I have
why
my
you vote
eyes
for
wide
open. If they're doing all these things wrong, why you continue to vote for them? Aren't you voting them out?
I don't believe in fairy tales. I don't believe in the myth that they taught us all our life. And that's why I've been busy spending my time reading up on it, trying to figure out what is going on. Now,
aren't
you
the lady always talking about the contrails?
Hey, you just keep on running around what you think you have wealth. And when the FEMA trucks start running, you'll see how much your wealth is going to keep you off the truck, okay?
Chemtrails, and, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a big fan of that
and she says she don't believe in myth, but she's the one that's talking about the chemtrails all the time. All right.
I didn't say that. The proper term is geoengineering, okay? And it's been going on for 2 decades. And if you go look online and you look up Cliff Carnicom, there are scientific studies that shows you in all countries in the world that these chemicals have been sprayed on us for over 2 decades. Now, if you don't have sense enough to look up in the sky and you can't tell the difference between a contrail and a chemtrail, I don't know what to tell you. A contrail dissipates. A chemtrail spreads out and turns the sky whitish. There's no blue sky when they get through spraying.
Yeah,
they've been doing
it all 2 weeks before this storm. Here, every day they were spraying right all over Atlanta. They crisscrossed the whole sky with the chemtrails, and look what this storm we got now. Is there any kind of correlation, y'all think?
Oh, here comes the speculation. Well, hello? Anybody?
Here.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, Joe said it before, but nobody seemed to agree with it. You keep on voting the same people back in, you're going to keep getting the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You keep...
But nowadays, the way the system's set up now, no matter who you vote for, it's like the same shit going to happen, man. No matter who you put it off.
Well, yeah, and no. You know, I can agree and I can disagree because, you know, it's on the one hand, you can bring in your favorite person again and you'll get more of the same and worse. Or you get a fresh face up there and you tell your fresh face before you go, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if you plan on going up there and making this your thing, you're going to do what we say do. Screw those people up there that you're rubbing elbows with.
Well, most people, man, they have good intentions to do that, but once they get in office, they get told what the reality is, and they just follow the program, particularly that dude up there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You up there, they're going to follow the protocol, or they're going to end up like JFK.
Why do they have to always go up there? They right there where you are. You got politicians right there in the state. They ain't doing nothing. You ain't sending them nowhere. They right there in the state.
All these governors.
That's why you got snow on the ground with ice up on where they didn't go treat it before the storm came.
Yeah, you should be doing some recalls. Y'all recalling your governor?
No.
That's a plan, man.
In Georgia?
For re-election.
They ain't
up
there down there with you.
Just turn here, man. He up for re-election. It ain't the people that know what's going on. These people, these Tea Party folks, that just go along to get along and think he really helping them out. In reality, he really screwing them.
His re-election occur in the summertime. Y'all been on forgot all about the snow.
We won't forget about all this, man. What he doing and turn all this health care
money
back, man.
Yeah, Wesley, quit lying.
He turned back $15 million for health care, man.
All he's going to have to do is give y'all a barbecue meal or a fish frying meal at some church, and y'all going to forget all about all of that.
He didn't want to sign on to the Medicaid expansion because he was right. The federal government promised things today and don't give it tomorrow.
The money is out there been allocated, man. He holding on the money. And same thing with Governor down there, Rick Scott. He turned away $15 million for jobs. Okay?
And
Governor Rick Scott in Florida. All these
suburbs. And what are the people doing? walking around different hats.
He asked people in Florida sitting around unemployed.
I know he did.
Let me ask you a question, Wesley. Why you depend so much on the government to take care of you?
Because we put money. I don't want the government to take care of me. I want bang for my buck. If they take my taxes, I want equal representation with my taxation.
Well, let me ask you another question, Wesley. And I'm not trying to be funny.
Right.
The lady that we got through talking said that the money ain't no good, and you agree with it. Now you saying you want more bang for your buck. Now I'm kind of confused. If the buck ain't no good, you say things that I didn't say.
I didn't say.
Ma'am, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Wesley. Please.
To you, because you just put words in my mouth that I didn't say. Please stop doing that. I didn't say the money wasn't any good. I said it was owned by the Federal Reserve and that it's a private foreign currency is what I said.
All right, well, Wesley, the money is owned by the Federal Reserve. That means you don't own it. So how are you going to get any bang for the buck?
Well, all due respect, sir, hold my question and my answer to Ms. Nagomi. I'll let Nagomi go ahead and answer that question.
If you was married to her, I would have to say you was henpecked, but yeah. Anyway.
Well, sometimes it's better to be henpecked by the right hand, bro. You get henpecked by the right hand, you do.
There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that. There's a lot wrong with being a foolish older man married to a young woman.
That's
though.
Right. If I was henpecked by the right hand, I'm set, right, Ms. Ottawa and Ms. Nagomi?
Absolutely.
At this time,
still
has exchange value, but they're being, the currency value is being depleted, as you all know. So it has exchange value. That's all. You don't own.
Well, you mean to tell me you can't go to the store and buy as many green peppers with $1 as you could 2 months ago?
Ever, Pionki.
That's just called inflation. That's all that is. You got
your house, but
you got a few dollars. You got a few dollars.
A lot of dollars chasing a few goods.
The reason why you can't own anything is
because you don't have any money to buy anything with, because money doesn't exist in America. You have fiat currency. That's why you can't own anything. There's no allodial title.
Oh, I understand. Wait a minute. Now, water sitting still is not flowing when they call it a current. So money sitting still is not flowing or moving, so they don't call it current until it flows and moves. Is that what you say, currency then, huh?
Ha, ha, ha. I'm not going to bother to respond because that's ridiculous.
I mean, when money moves, don't they call it currency? If it stays in one spot, what is it?
You call it whatever you want to.
It's not me. I didn't choose the word.
You like to play with words, and I don't like to play with you, okay? These things to me are very serious things that are affecting us all. They affect my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. Yeah. So I take this very seriously. I don't say it to ego trip myself, look any kind of way. I'm just sharing information that I have read, that I have studied. If it's any value to anybody, fine. If it's not any value to you, Pionki, that's fine, too. You can reject it.
Great point.
Well, I was just taking up for Wesley there because he sounds kind of confused on the whole matter, and I asked him. He said, turn it back to the person where you heard it from.
You ought to
Wesley, believe me, I think you're safe, brother. Don't worry about it. We need to have you around so you can help us jump on Eric and all facts.
I say it like this, Pionki. A lot of the things that you say, especially in a forum like this, you say it to be comical. You don't mean the majority of things you're saying. You say you love your grandchild, but the thing about it is, if you look at what's going on, you're dead and gone. I hate to say it like this, but do you really give a damn about what goes on after he... And when you gone and they still here?
Now, he is living what he believes in, and you are living what you believe in.
I know Pionki. You got that jurisprudence degree, man.
I don't believe in any of this crap.
He's a jurisprudence.
We don't agree with everything, but that's his belief.
He's a jurisprudence. But
Brother Lowe said Pionki makes comical comments about serious matters. So I don't know why you say he's living what he believes.
Not like you don't want me to put words in your mouth. Don't put words to my intention.
Brother Lowe
I'm not making any comical.
Bianchi.
I take this very serious.
I don't think so.
I believe Bianchi and Beasley is the same person, man. They got to be.
Hold on. Let me ask this question. All right, we going back and forth on this thing. You know, and Sister Goni, she throwing out some facts that, Joe don't even know that I'm talking
right.
about. But here's the question. With all this that we know, how can we put money in our pockets? You know, at least have one grocery store field in the neighborhood, you know, that we own. How do we do that?
Since we have all this knowledge right here,
if we were to put that together, how would we do this? How will we get money
to get rid of
market?
That? Can you help to get rid of that?
Well, I think what we need to do probably is start a co-op, I think. So we can start a co-op with the with some farmers.
I mean, people's already doing it, and then see what they did and put it in your city.
That's right. You can form a community corporation, buy your own store and own it that way, sell shares to the community, $1 a piece. That way, when a person get ready to liquidate, they have to make sure that they're doing it at the approval of those who own it. That'd be a good idea, Wesley. Eric?
Okay.
That's right.
Anybody else?
I say that's good. We can get it done, man. I'm ready to put my little $2 in with y'all.
Hey, there you go. All right. All right, everybody got quiet on that one. Okay.
Form your corporation.
Yeah, they want to pull all that fiat money out of their pocket now.
Hey, Eric.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you hear about the New York representative, Michael Grimm, that threatened the reporter after being asked about fundraising allegations? He threatened to throw him off the balcony and break him in two.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Yes, I did. And, I think that goes on a lot. He just happened to get caught on film. That's what I'm thinking.
Huh? Gangster.
Because it seemed to me, Cynthia McKinney did the same thing up there, right, a couple of years ago. Did she do almost like the same thing, similar, Cynthia McKinney?
Wesley, you down there in Atlanta, y'all let them Jews jump on Cynthia McKinney.
Man.
And elect that other ignorant fool. Huh?
I ain't let nobody do nothing, bro. Y'all let them. Who's that ran against her?
They wouldn't pick black men to run.
What they did, man, they flipped the primary on all these Republicans. They voted in the primary against another candidate, man. And that's how they did in Georgia. They can flip. You can flip your party allegiance.
You don't have to declare your party during the primary in Georgia, do you?
No. You can just vote for anything. That's what they did.
So they crossed over and voted her opposition.
Right. That's exactly how they did.
Then when the election came, they voted their man against her opposition.
Correct.
You're talking about Cynthia McKinnon, right?
Yeah.
She said it out of her own mouth. She said it out of her own mouth. She had all these people to call her and ask her, "Hey, would it be okay if we did a fundraiser for you? We can do a fundraiser for you." Yeah. Let's do a fundraiser. And on the backside of the asking is, "Are you going to support the state of Israel?" And she was like, "No, my daddy said, what the hell we got to do with Israel? We got problems in Georgia." Next thing you know, no phone calls. Next thing you know, she's not in office anymore. That's how that went.
Well, from what I understand, they make all them congressmen and senators take some kind of oath or sign a paper saying that they commit to helping Israel, every one of them that's been elected. That's what I hear. They have to swear allegiance and sign a contract.
She said that out of her own mouth, what you just said. She said out of her own mouth.
Yeah,
and anybody on this phone can dispute that, but hey, she's been in there with those people, so she knows.
Mm-hmm.
Set out on them out.
Right.
So the people of Georgia should be up in arms for some outside group to come in and entice your elected official like that.
Man, the people in Georgia don't
every elected official that we have has an outside entity to come in and entice them. So what are you talking about, man?
The people in Georgia don't even listen to the weather report. The weather report says stay home. They don't stay home, man. So I don't put no faith to the people in Georgia, man.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, that was a good one, Wesley. That was a good one.
Yeah, they let 2 inches shut them down.
Oh, Lord. Well, see, like I said before, you have to remember, man, that is a southern city. They're not used to ice or snow. You know, that's like here in Texas where I am. An inch and they shut everything down. I mean, down. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration. But you're right, Wesley. I mean, it's not like they didn't know it was coming. Yes.
This is how every so many years they happen anyway. So those that know that every so many years it happened, they should have been prepared.
Well, see, I was caught up in that storm in 2011 trying to go to work. So I learned my lesson to stay my big black you-know-what home when the weather says it's going to snow. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. It only took me one time to realize it. And I got caught up in 2011 when it happened.
It only takes one time, huh, Wesley?
Yes,
no, because you still stuck today.
Well, I tried. You know what to do.
You always... You should have went out and got you some bird seeds, or you should have got some cat litter, or you should have got some salt. Had it in your car. You wouldn't have been stuck.
Yeah, you should have been prepared.
But you wouldn't have been falling down when you went out the door. That's called being prepared.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
but
true.
If the whole highway is frozen, maize, and no traffic is moving, what good is that going to do you?
Normally,
2 inches
the highways
of snow,
are the
man.
That you can go through.
Two inches of snow shut your highways down? If it's all ice?
No, it was the ice in front
ice.
Of the snow. They didn't treat
right.
the highways before the ice came.
People that's unemployed should get out there and start shoveling some snow, making some money.
Well, they treated them, as soon as they treated them, then it froze right back over. See, they have to keep treating it.
And then some people had batteries that were dead. Someone was stuck in the highway and people couldn't get around.
Well, I blame that on them.
Or like that. Some didn't have enough gas in the car. That's why some of the cars are sitting on the road.
I blame it on them. They should have stayed home. Everybody got
y'all
a choice.
Do they have some of your thoroughfares? Are they snow routes, Wesley?
No, sir.
The only thing they got is hurricane routes, if anything. Yeah, they don't have any snow.
Right. Only evacuation route is like around Savannah somewhere around that port when a hurricane comes through. But other than that, no. Nah.
Y'all need to tell y'all governor when they have when they're doing their planning committee, they need to do some changes just in case for all type of weather, not just one.
Well,
right.
Maze. Now, see, here you go. You sound like them folk that got stuck on the highway and want to blame the mayor for it.
That's right.
No.
What?
I mean, you have to prepare good, but you don't constantly prepare for something that may happen. Well, I shouldn't have said it like that, but. You
every
know,
years,
at the time,
like
yeah, you have to concentrate on what's happening now. I mean, what's going on now? Like to fix the infrastructure and things of that nature. You know, two inches of snow is really not a lot. You know, the only problem they ran into was it iced over, and we only have two main roads, you know, highways in an area. And you let everybody off in the city at 1 o'clock, then you know you that's a recipe for a disaster right there.
Who let everybody off?
The highway should have been clear. Is them trucks and everybody else wanted to go through to get to the next stop, but no, it wasn't.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Let me explain something to you, Maze. You see, I understand what you said, but let me explain something to you. Now, see, you get the snow on the ground, right? So they salt the ground. So you drive on the snow. Okay, now you turn that into slush, right? Okay, so we keep driving. The snow keep going. The temperature's still going down. That slush eventually turns into water. Okay, it's below freezing now. And see, what you think is going to happen? I don't care how much you ice.
The cars constantly going across is going to stay slush because each car go past and make the slush.
And
keep
if the temperature gets
well, y'all should get that chemical like we use up here. We don't use salt.
They got new chemical
no
now. They put it like water.
Well, they don't want to get. They want to use some dirt and some salt, man.
Yes, that Benadryl don't work no more.
Well, I know what you're talking about. That chemical called brine. It ain't nothing but vinegar. That's what the brine is, vinegar. Vinegar and salt.
Mm. Y'all, they throwing dirt on the road down there?
Yes, they still throwing dirt on the road.
See, the problem is, like Mr. Talk said, when that first snowfall fall, the first day cool, but when it kind of melt, and then the next night it freezes over and turns to ice. That's always the second day, always.
Well, you know,
with the ice.
What you could do is y'all could have a horse on standby down there in the south.
I wish I was standing right in front of you. I really do. I got.
Why you
want to
be violent?
I can't help it because of what he just said. I wish I was standing right in front of him.
And if you stand in front of him, you might be.
What are you
going to
do if you stand in front of me?
I'd kick you in your 2 points of contact. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, kid, let me tell you something. The worst thing you could do is try to kick me in my 2 points of contact.
All right, hold on. I don't care about your 2 points of contact or nobody else kicking him. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop, all right?
You don't want to do that now.
Pianki.
Huh?
Thank you for being quiet. All right. Now, here we go.
Let me ask you a question.
No, I'm asking the questions. I am asking the questions right now. Okay? I'm asking right now. Thank you. Okay, and here's my next question to the panel. What is an American? Because I heard that so much last night. I was sitting there, I'm like, what the hell is that? Can anybody answer that? What is an American?
I don't know.
I just thought I'd ask the question.
American is a person that live in Canada, Central America, and South America.
Hmm.
That's
okay.
True.
Yeah.
However, let me ask you this question. Is a Mexican who lives in Mexico an American? Is a Guatemalan American? Is a Brazilian an American?
Yeah, they are.
What are you?
What am I?
Yeah,
I'm
what
a United
are you?
States. I'm a United States citizen.
Well, at least you know you're a slave.
He sounds like he's a perfect.
I'm a well-paid slave too.
He's a perfect example of meritorious ammunition. You know what that is? Meritorious ammunition.
I see,
no.
Eric.
Go ahead and explain that.
I see somebody was. You let people call other people out of their name. Now, if I call somebody out of their name, it hurt their feelings.
Yankee, don't get sensitive now. You've been calling people out of their name the whole time.
He's being nice today.
Anyway, what is it, Wesley?
A meritorious ammunition is a person with melanin that do the bidding of his slave master, i.e., a Sambo.
Oh,
that's called meritorious ammunition.
Mm. All righty then. That's interesting there. I don't know how to respond to that one. All right, Pianki, what was the question you had to ask me?
About the horses in Texas.
I don't know nothing about no dang horses in Texas. I drive a vehicle with four wheels on it. I can't tell you nothing about a horse in Texas. All right, I don't know nothing about no horse. Besides, they shit when they walk. That's all I can tell you.
They don't. If they have Amish people around in the area, they will have had buggies and horses and went on about their business for the whole day. Help people get off the side of the road, too.
Look, honestly, looking at what was going on, I don't think the horse or carriage would have made it either. I mean, it was just that iced over. Now, it's good to
horse
say that,
does,
yeah.
Horse manure is good for your tomato plants, man.
Well, it seems like he's a specialist in bovine excrement, huh?
Okay.
You know about manure. You're a manure specialist.
Sound like he got a garden and his food grows in it.
Say what?
Sound like he has a garden.
It sounds like he got a garden.
As long as you don't put too much on there.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Pianki. Okay.
Yeah.
Pianki, let me ask you a question. You have your own business, right?
Yeah, I did. I retired, though.
Okay, then what was your business?
Structural steel erection, Eric.
structure still erection. Okay. And the reason why I'm asking, you know, because you say you got a lot of money, so that means you have a plan and you know how to make it work for you, right?
No, I'm going to have the money that y'all say you got that's no good, it's nasty and everything. I said, give it to me. I'll take it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you, could you share some of that knowledge with us? Tell us how we can get some money. You know, put some money in our pockets.
Well, you say you don't want the stuff. You said it's no
question,
good.
Pianchi.
It belongs to somebody else and everything else.
Okay, just answer the question, please.
Out in Atlanta, you need to get your shovel and go out and start shoveling people's driveways. You can make some money like that.
Okay,
well,
moving right along. I'm not going to get going with that no more. Moving right along. Lord have mercy. Anyway.
Hey, these kids around here come around and do about a half hour's worth of work and get $30 and $40.
It don't $30 and $40. What about a few
really?
In Chicago? What you think they should do?
Wow, y'all just out there
they
today.
They should do the same thing.
Hold on. Let me bring another caller in. Let me bring Mr. Solution in. All right. Mr. Solution, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Eric, I'll respond to that question. A lot of maybe some of the other, well, at any rate, the question you asked Bianchi is was how can you get more wealth?
That was the question.
Now, he wasn't joking when he said that, because I think that was you guys kind of, I think, pissed him off. Because you were saying things that were antithetical to procuring wealth. You were saying things like what he just said you were saying. And you can't have that double mind. If you are either going to go after wealth or you're going to sit back and thumb your nose at it and be poor. No one really cares if that's the case. But I would say get the game Cash Flow 101. That's an excellent game. It's better than Monopoly. And what it does is it opens your mind to investing, being creative, being an entrepreneur. Read Dr. Anderson's book, Powernomics. Now, everybody is probably 3 to 4 years behind on that. We've been talking about that. How many people have read it? The word is meritorious manumission is the word the gentleman was just stating. And that just simply means usually a slave or someone who was rewarded for tattling or snitching on another person that was considered black, which was poor and powerless. So that's what I would say, Duke. I mean, it's in Dr. Anderson's book. You can make tons of money off of reading books. I mean, that's what The Millionaire Next Door, a couple of economists just documented how rich people live. And they made a ton of money. I bought one of the books. So I would say, you know, and you have to talk about wealth acquisition all the time. It can't be a part-time bullshit venture. You've got to talk about it all the time. You've got to devote your life to it. Would you agree with that, Bianchi?
That's right.
Yeah, you just can't
wrong
say,
with,
well, I'm going to talk about money today. Hee-hee-hee.
Nothing wrong with capitalism. The only thing wrong with capitalism is when you don't participate in it.
Exactly. And what did I say? The best thing one can do for a poor person? Not be one of them.
It's two things you don't want to be in America. One, dependent on the government. Two, poor.
Mr. Solutions.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
That's good. This is Ngoni speaking. I'd like to ask you a question. How
Proceed.
Do you define wealth?
Excuse me?
How do you define wealth?
Yeah, wealth is a store of assets. It's above your income. Wealth and income are different. Income is what one usually uses to pay their bills. Wealth is a store. It's excess labor. That's what wealth is. Excess labor.
I agree,
labor.
And thank you. I agree.
Would you agree with that, Bianchi?
Yeah, it's when your money works for you. Thank you're making you. Money while you sleep. Nothing Thank good you. Like making money when you sleep.
Yeah, I think it's called residual income. That's residual income, right?
And that's where the solution is mixed up at.
And you
make
your
money work for it, you, and you don't work for it. That's how you do it.
Well, right. But you need to talk about this all the time. You need to be creative. You need to bring your kids in on it if you care about them and help them develop what's called their financial intelligence. That's what it's called, financial intelligence. I coach a number of people how to grow in their wealth. But wealth is excess labor. It's stored wealth. It's wealth that you don't need to live on. And it's wealth that you can use to improve your wealth. See, that's what you do with wealth. Wealth increases your existing wealth. You follow that? You follow that concept?
Yes. Thank you very much for that feedback. And I want to ask you, since we agree on the definition of what wealth is, it's a unit of value that can be stored over time that can contain your labor. Now, let's talk about Federal Reserve notes and fiat currency. How does that affect wealth?
It does have an impact. Taxation, inflation, arbitrary devaluation, all of those things impact one's wealth. And that's the reason the stock market and other investment vehicles are there. I was having a conversation with several successful gentlemen, and I just pointed out to them in summary, I said, you guys are doing nothing but keeping ahead of inflation. And they were just saying, I mean, they're much more steeped in wealth creation than I am. Well, I assume they are. They may not be, but they do real well. And I just summarized it for them. But see, no one will ever understand everything about this particular venture. But I was commenting earlier that immigrants will come here. They'll never know all of that stuff about that you're saying. And it's good stuff. I think it's great. But you don't need to know that to make money. You don't need to know that to make lots of money. And I would say start with what financial planners tell us is important. 1 year's salary. Save up 1 year's salary. Let that be your target wealth. Let that be your target wealth. 1 year's salary. It used to be 6 months prior to 2008. But now they tell us we need 1 year. And what that will do, if you lose your job or whatever, you have a whole year's salary. You're not all stressed out. You know, one of the biggest causes of divorce is when a job is lost. If you have that 1 year's salary stored up, that's like an anchor. It's like a pillar. Does that make sense? You follow that?
That's good advice 20 years ago, but today you can see they're devaluing the dollar, and you can see their trade wars going on. And usually after currency wars and trade wars, there's hot war. And when you talk about wealth, wealth means you own something. And I would like for you to explain to me, if you have a fiat currency, how you can protect what you are defining as wealth when there are secret liens on everything you think you own. If you have a mortgage, it says right in your mortgage that you have a tenancy agreement. If you buy a car, when you go to a dealer and you sign the contract to purchase a vehicle, which really is the wrong word to use because you can't purchase anything unless you have a real store of value, which is the definition of money, to be able to own something. And in this system, you don't own anything. When you sign that contract at the dealer, if you notice the certificate of ownership or title is written on bond paper, which the state uses your vehicle as collateral, and they trade those bonds on the stock market. So when you talk about wealth, to me, that means ownership. But how do you have wealth? How do you protect wealth when you don't truly own anything? You don't have allodial title in this system.
You know what, Mr. Solution? One time, I wrote an employee of mine a check on a napkin. He took it to the bank and kept it and cashed it.
You can do that.
Okay.
I put the proper numbers on there. I put the proper numbers on there on a napkin. He took it to the bank and cashed it.
Deontay, you can write your signature on a napkin and give it to a stockbroker, and he can take it and sell it on the world stock market because it's
okay,
our labor.
Let's address the question that she just asked because it is a good question. And I would say, okay, given the question that you just asked, what would be your solution? What is a person to do in light of the bleak situation that you just painted?
That's a good question. I'm listening.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry that you find the reality as bleak. I happen to believe that truth is just what is. The first thing a person can do is they can recognize and educate and inform themselves that everything that they thought they knew is not exactly the way it appears. Now, like you, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I have all his books. I've read about the Carnegie Foundation. I've read all kinds of inspiring, motivational, financial books, so forth and so on. And then I read some history about those same peoples and found out that those are the peoples that are pulling the strings on everything that we think we have an opportunity to pull our bootstraps, ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Now, I'm not saying that we should just give up and not do anything, but I think, like I said yesterday on the show, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, the beginning of wisdom is when you call things by their right name.
But
now,
I've agreed with you.
If I could backtrack when she said strings and bootstraps, who's pulling strings that's keeping you from pulling up your bootstraps?
I'll be brief. I wasn't quite finished with my statement. Thank you very much. I am not saying that we should just forget it and not try to do anything to create a position for ourselves that will give us security, quote security, as much as that can be, in a system that's being changed right before your eyes to a fascist, some would say a communist system. And in a communist system, you don't own property. All you have to do is read the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, and you will see.
I agree with you on there, but still the standing question is.
All 10 tenets are already in effect. And then you have something called the United Nations Declaration, Agenda 21. And their policies and goals are to take away all private ownership. They're also trying to get carbon taxes where you will pay for breathing. Also, they have 250 square feet apartments that they're building around the country for people to reside in so that they can be located close to certain commercial areas where they'll be little slaves. Basically, they're trying to take us back to feudalism. Now, if somebody smarter than me knows what to do about that, I'll shut up and listen. But all I'm trying to do is express what is going on. That's it. Now I'm finished.
Well, thank you. Your expressing what's going on is taking up all your energy toward developing a solution, apparently. And that's where you...
No, it's not taking up all my energy. I think expending energy on understanding truth and reality is very well invested energy.
You said you were finished. Okay, most people, first of all, I can tell you candidly, even though I know what you're saying, or at least the majority of it, you don't need to know that to make wealth, to make a positive footprint, impact. Because, as I said again, immigrants who come to this country do far better than the natives, despite what you just said. So the whole point here is how do you improve your conditions, your financial conditions, despite what you just said? And it can be done.
Yeah,
well,
I like to hear that
saying.
Too.
If you can do Mr. Solutions, I applaud you and highly respect you. But see, it seems to me that what you're doing is you are speaking about things that used to exist, and the system is changing now. And if you don't change with the times, then you'll find yourself standing around wondering what happened because you don't see
Let me respond. Oh, I love that. Let me respond to that. That's a great question. May I?
Yes, please do.
I often say, and this question was asked of the Remington guy, the guy who started Remington Shaving. If all of his money went away, would he be able to redo it? And he, of course, said no, because he has amassed a tremendous amount of wealth, what I call hyper wealth. But if I had to do it all over again, I could do as well or maybe better. And maybe I shouldn't always sit around and think about that, but I do because I like to know, could I do everything over? Now, obviously, at a certain point, one runs out of time. But let me just give you the positive. There's plenty of opportunity left in America, plenty. And most people who come here are people who have run out of opportunity in their native land, and they come here for renewed opportunity, primarily wealth. Every immigrant that leaves their motherland and comes and immigrates is doing it for wealth. It's not a game.
You know what, Mr. Solution? You're absolutely right. There was some black men that was doing a farm down in Fort Valley, Georgia, Wesley, know where that is. And they wasn't able to pull it together, what they was trying to do. But right down the road, about 20 miles outside of Atlanta in Newman, a Pakistani took up the ordeal where he's selling halal meat. And I just so happened to call his number yesterday, and he had a recording. And the recording said, we have run out Saturday, and we will not have any more until sometime in the near future. So the market is so great that this person is running out within 2 or 3 days. You have to ask yourself, is there any black folks in Atlanta that can do the same thing?
That's a good point. I like that. I like that.
That's unfair.
And, you know, let me just say this.
I beg your pardon. Please excuse me. I don't mean to be rude, but I would like to respond to that because, first of all, you're not taking in consideration, Pianki, that immigrants come here.
I guess they come over here with money from the government, huh? I got to go, Erica.
Immigrants come here and they get furniture allowance. Russians and other immigrants come here and get special allowances from the federal government that the so-called natives don't get. So they
Wait a minute.
And they also come here with the benefit of coming from a culture that's intact, that works together to cooperate to help them come here, because when they come here and set up their business, they're going to be sending back their resources to their homeland.
Right. And if I may interject something, the Koreans, they got something called what they call CAC. And what they do, the 10 Koreans, businessmen, they get, each one of them get together and pool $1,000 each to that new immigrant that's coming over here. So he set up with at least $10,000 to start his business endeavor. And so when he get pay that money back, then he get in the pool and with some old new Koreans and start the same consequences over and over. That's what they doing, and that's what we not doing. It's called cash.
Now, right, but that's what they do. What one really has to figure out is, what are you going to do? Look in the mirror and say to yourself, however many times you need to, what am I going to do to increase my financial situation? Now, Eric asked earlier about the grocery store. I think what's more important than the grocery store is your personal bottom line. Do you feel that 1 year's salary that financial planners tell us we should have is a good standard? Anybody can answer that. Do you feel that's
a good standard? But the financial planner didn't have to tell me to do that. I always did it. My grandma, that's what she did stuff, and that's why I did it.
Okay. Now, once you do it, you're having done it, do you consider it a good thing?
Yes, it's a good thing.
Okay. Now, that's what
you
should.
You never know.
I'm sorry. I was just. That's what you should promote in your children, because, see, everyone else is going to have to figure out their own way of doing exactly that thing. If everybody had 100 grand or even 50 grand in their bank account today, or even 25 grand, even though the money has been greatly devalued, I agree with that. You can go to the, I believe it's the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. They have what's called an inflation calculator. And I know the CPI, the Department of Labor, has an inflation calculator. And you're right, the money has been devalued. However, we still have to use it as a medium of exchange. And in spite of the fact that it has been devalued, we have to learn as people, as American citizens, how to increase our wealth and how to preserve it. And I guarantee you, once you start earning wealth, you will learn how to preserve it, because you'll talk to other people who are doing it, and you'll seek out methods yourself. So all of these things that the lady was saying earlier, one can navigate their way around those things.
Well, let me ask you a question, man. You keep talking about this pie in the sky, man. There's a lot of people, particularly in the construction trade, like I'm in, right? I'm an electrician, man. And once I turn the lights on, get a job, turn the lights on, that job will not last a year. It's all pie in the sky. You keep talking about a year's salary, but most people that are not even be on a job a whole year, man. They're just trying to stretch out and trying to make it with that check. And then another thing, you keep saying, why we always got to worry about I. One person got to do it, I. Instead of black people doing, like I said, like the careers, what that guy thing, man. And you keep saying about I. That's what's wrong with the black community, always with this I stuff, man. You don't get the point, man. You don't see what I'm saying is, i.e., most people, if they do have a job, they don't be on there for a whole year, man. Okay? So that's all good, well in day out and high pie in the sky by saving
well, let me respond to that.
Salary, man.
Let me respond to that if you want an answer. Do you believe there's an answer to the dilemma you just posed?
Well, it's got to be an answer, man. That's why I put it out there, bro.
Okay, the answer is you may have to change professions. You may have to upgrade your skills, okay? And I'm not against anyone collaborating. I believe in collaboration. But if there's no one to collaborate with who has the same mindset, and I think that's a great question that you asked, this does deal with issues of ideas. If there's no one around with a similar idea as you do, progressive idea, what are you going to do? Just die standing still? No. You need to implement your plan. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm not excluding collaboration. I never did that. I never would do that. But I am saying, in the setting that there's no one to collaborate with, you've got to do it yourself.
Mr. Solutions, you know, I get your point, and I agree. Just like Robert Krigowski lost, as he became a millionaire, he lost all of his money, and him and his wife had to sleep in their car for a time until some of his friends took him in. I'm quite sure you know the story. Another example is Donald Trump lost all of his. But when you own the level and you have knowledge, certainly you're correct. You can rebuild because you have the knowledge. So you keep talking about things that are based on a false premise, that you have money or that you have wealth. And so until you, I think, are willing to acknowledge that Federal Reserve note does not represent wealth, it represents a medium of exchange. And when the private Federal Reserve decides to fold up their card table and leave the third time, then what are you going to have as a medium of exchange, since this society is rapidly moving towards a cashless society, which is more controlled?
All right, let me respond to that. What are you going to do?
I don't know. And I never claimed to know the answer.
Point of it is, see, we don't need to deal with the quote-unquote unknown.
I disagree with you.
I deal with the known. See, you're telling me to agree with something, to agree with you on something you don't even know.
No, I'm not asking you to put anything, Ms. Solutions. And I'm not dealing with the unknown. I'm dealing with the facts of the current situation that we find ourselves in. Now, if you choose to ignore those facts, certainly sometime in the future you will be forced to deal with them.
All right, let's ask Eric to come in on this because we're going around in a circle. I didn't say I'm ignoring. I'm just not putting as much impact.
I don't know, but you went out there for a hot minute.
As much emphasis on an unknown as you are. And what you want to do, see, I understand. You're so revved up in this anti-Federal Reserve. And for the most part, I agree with you. In fact, I'll raise you one. Listen to Bernanke and his nemesis. I can't think of his name right now. But he's a doctor out
strain
of Texas.
Don't strain yourself, Mr. Solutions, because I would prefer to listen to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and Gerald Celente and Dr. Jim Willey.
I've heard those guys.
I would never waste my time listening at Bernanke because he's the problem.
All right, well, hold on. Let me bring Jew into this conversation. I don't know why.
Now, how is it, Mr. Solutions?
Ron Paul. That's the guy I was trying to think of.
How is it, Mr. Solutions, that you're going to say that we're just going to ignore the fact that the whole system is rigged, that the Federal Reserve is not federal, that the money system is not money? What Sister Nagonia didn't mention when she said that they were mediums of exchange, a Federal Reserve note is really an instrument of debt. So how does one ignore all that when the game is rigged from the get-go? Do you either use the game and get it to your advantage?
How did you
or,
do that? How do you do that? How do you do
well,
that?
You jump in and steal from everybody the way that everybody else is stealing from you.
Oh, come on. Oh, okay, how do you do that? Be specific.
How do you do that? Well, if you're gonna rig the game, when you play the game the way they play it, except you get your Federal Reserves out and turn it into real money.
Okay.
As soon as you can. That requires a bit of skill. And then they're making it very hard for you to get your real money out of the country, aren't they?
Is this one angry Jew?
This is one angry Jew. They have dogs.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
I'm good. They have dogs that sniff for money.
Yeah, but we're talking about solutions here, not just constantly repeating the problem.
Well,
what's
you
got
to find a solution to get your – yeah, I know. You're Mr. Solutions. That's why you like to talk solutions. You got to find a way to get your money out.
Out of where? Out of where?
Out of this country.
Why do you got to – that's a salt – okay.
Well,
what are you talking
about? Venezuela.
About?
Let's look at Venezuela as an example. I have a friend. Why are you laughing?
This guy is funny. What angry Jew? What are you talking? That's nonsense. Get your money out of the country. Why are you going to do that?
Let's look at
But you
Venezuela.
First got to get it.
Let's
you first got to get it. What are you talking about? Get it. Country.
I don't know why you're talking over me. You do that to Sister Nagonia too. It's terrible. You first have to look at a country like Venezuela to understand what you're going to need to do in the future. And you may laugh and say, well, this country is never going to become like Venezuela, but it will. In Venezuela, I have a friend of mine who managed to figure out how to make wealth. He earns about $5-6 million a year is what he pockets. And it's difficult to get it out of Venezuela because he makes that money in Venezuela. His company pays him in Swiss francs. Also pays him in dollars. Some of the money is in Venezuelan bolivares. Now they call them the bolivares fuerte, which is a misnomer. Venezuela's had several currency devaluations. They just had one several months ago. It makes someone like him who's running a business very difficult. Let me tell you what he does. He moves people around the world. Mostly he moves people out of Venezuela. And when Hugo Chavez took over in 1998, his company, which he owned a small piece of, grew, and it grew a lot. And he got owned a bigger piece of it over the years, and that's enough to put millions of dollars in his pocket because the people with money, the people with wealth, are fleeing Venezuela. Well, most of them have gone. If what you're going to have, what you've had in Venezuela, you're going to have here in America. The people are starting to get smart. The people with money in America, the people with wealth, have figured out ways of getting their wealth out of the country. But the little guy who might buy some gold, let's say that he buys enough gold over the years to be worth, I don't know, several hundred thousand dollars, how's he going to get that gold out of the country? How's he going to keep Uncle Sam from taking that gold from him? How's he going to – you can't even take the Federal Reserve notes in large quantities out of the country because they fear that. They won't let you do it. You've got to declare it. And then if you declare it, all sorts of things happen at the border. So we have a country that is becoming increasingly socialistic.
I see you still here, and you're not having no problem. Why are you still in the country?
I'm sorry. Was that Maze the mumbler? I always think of her as that app on my phone when I want to get from one place to the other. It mumbles at me too. We have become increasingly fascistic, and we are very controlling. I'm sure you don't disagree with that, Mr. Solution. Do you? I didn't hear you. Do you agree or not agree?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Do you agree
or
not agree?
Okay, no, I heard the noises. Look, you can't, first of all, what you just said is deflecting from the basic conversation. The people here that we're talking to have to first get the money, and we're talking about 1 year's salary. Here you are talking about multiple millions of dollars. That's not the tone of the conversation. That's an extended conversation.
The amount of money makes no difference. Look, a man who is subsisting.
It makes a difference if you don't have it. It certainly makes a difference.
Well, let's say you're getting Social Security. That's what you're living on. So you're a man in America or a woman living on Social Security, which doesn't pay for anything, as you well know. So your existence in America is going to be not miserly. It's going to be frugal beyond belief, and you're going to have a very meager existence.
Okay.
Yet the American mindset is, well, America is the best place in the world. I wouldn't, love it or leave it. And yet you could go over to Thailand, for example, where I lived for several years, and you could take your Social Security check, have it direct deposited into your account. And once a week or 2 weeks, whenever that check gets deposited, you can walk over to any ATM in that country. There are thousands of them. On every street corner, there's five or six ATMs. For each bank, you'll have banks of ATMs. You walk over to the ATM, and you can take your money out in the local currency, and you're going to get the best transfer rate of all. Not if you brought traveler's checks, not if you wrote a check, not if you even brought cash. You're going to get a better rate just by taking the electronic money, the fake Federal Reserve notes over in America, and pulling them out in local currency, which is the Thai baht.
What percentage of the U.S. Population has a passport?
What percentage of the U.S. population has a driver's license? What's difficult about getting a passport?
It's 3%.
First of all, I'm just saying you're bringing up issues. I'm not saying they're totally worthless.
I'm giving you a solution.
But they certainly are not germane to the conversation.
Mr. Solutions, I gave you a solution. You've got people.
Yeah, but most people aren't going to leave their own home state, let alone the country. Come on.
Well, then that's their fault. If they want to stay. I don't know why you think that's funny. I don't think that's funny. You
I don't need relief. This guy is hell of a funny.
A man living on Social Security, which is a meager existence, could
I heard all of that.
And live quite well in another country. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but they aren't going to do that.
Well, I just gave you a solution, did I not?
But that's not a viable solution.
Yes,
no,
it is.
It's not a viable solution to you, perhaps, but it's
there
a viable solution to many.
Who's going to move? Okay, who said, who agrees with one angry Jew?
I do.
Oh, you're ready to move to another country? Which one?
I'm saying it's possible. I've lived in another country for 3.5 years, and Jew is right. You can live like a rich person. However, I do have one issue with what Jew is saying. You're still dependent on using Federal Reserve notes unless you have gold or silver or some other true store of wealth.
Well, Mr. Solution,
right now,
a solution.
And right now, they're
man.
Saying that it's very difficult to even get gold. And there's discussion about them constantly like they did in 1933.
Well, I'm preparing to go and enjoy some of my Federal Reserve notes, so I'm going to listen to you guys hash it out. Please proceed.
There's no hashing out to do. You asked for a solution for the common man. I just gave it to you. You asked for a solution for the man not making $5 million a year. I just gave
and
you
another,
that solution.
Another thing, Mr. Solutions, you were very happy to talk about immigrants coming over to this country and how well they do and how bad the natives do. So what's wrong with the natives looking at a solution that maybe we need to get out of Dodge? What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything is wrong with it. I'm just saying based on the available evidence, virtually no one's going to do it. Now, you said you lived abroad, but you're back here now, correct?
Unlike you, I wouldn't venture to say what the majority are going to do or not do. I wouldn't venture to say what they're going to do. But the point that you is making is that that is one possible solution. Now, if anybody doesn't want to do that, then that's up to them.
Okay, I agree. It's a possible solution, but not a probable solution. And if less than 20% of the American people have a passport, they're not into traveling, not only living in other countries, not even traveling to other countries. What do you think of that?
3% of the American population has a passport. However, your solution is not viable for the majority of people either. It's only viable for people who are individualistic, greedy, as you profess to be, and still believing in capitalistic system, which kills millions of people all over the planet.
Well, wait a minute. I think you've stepped over the line there. I don't think you're calling me greedy is a
you were on the when you were on the program the other day, out of your own mouth, you said greed was good. Did you not?
Well, what I said is in the context of a capitalistic system, greed is one of the motivational tools. And I also talked about obsession.
You told me I stepped over the line, and my comment was to reiterate what you said on the program the other day, so I don't think I did step over any line.
You did. You mischaracterized what I said. You mischaracterized, and I'm telling you, you did.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, I think you're mistaken. If I've offended you, I will say I'm sorry for that. However, I stand by what I said, and I'm not the only one that was in the discussion that talked about the value of greed or the non-value of greed to the larger community.
I was born into the system, and I've learned how to manipulate the system as everybody has to do. Now you can
everybody doesn't have to do that because people understand that, you know, those who are very self-absorbed and self-centered rise to the top. That's why we have a bunch of criminals in Congress and inside the Beltway, because they're narcissistic, they're sociopaths, and they don't really care about the people. A good example of that is what's going on down there in Atlanta right now today. The grid is falling down. Bridges are falling down. They're taking away benefits from people during a depression, and in the middle of the winter, they're stopping people from getting assistance for heating oil. So, you know, the individual solution may work for individuals, but it won't work for the majority of people. And that's the plan, because the plan is depopulation. Now, you can laugh at that if you want to, but it's well documented in their own white papers. And who are they? Oh, they're people like eugenists, like John P. Holdren, the science czar for the government, and many others that speak openly about it. Prince Bernhard speaks openly about it. Any comment?
No,
okay,
it seems
well,
that you are like concrete. You're set in what you believe, so it's okay. I believe in freedom. I do believe in individualism. I also believe in cooperation where it's appropriate. But if you're convinced of what you're convinced of and where you are in your economic and every social development, if you agree that it's okay, you're happy, then I'm happy for you.
I didn't say I was happy, and I didn't say it was okay. And I respect the fact that you're in cement, concrete, in your individualistic position also. And I wish you well with your wealth that can be taken away from you at any time by the police state that's developing right before your eyes, Mr. Solution.
Okay.
Take what you say under advisement. Let me tell you something. They've already passed laws that if you have a certain amount of stored food, the government can come and take it from you.
Okay, I'll keep what you say in mind. I'll take it under advisement. But
all
it's
right,
not
so
a fight.
Was,
fighting with
thank,
you, I don't even see a reason to fight with you.
I'm not fighting. I'm just passionate about what I think and what I know, and I appreciate.
I'm truly passionate. If I just may complete this thought, you keep muting me, or is that the system doing that?
No, that's me doing it because I don't want to talk over you.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I want to thank you.
I listen to you. I'm not just enthralled about just constantly hashing it. I'll listen to you guys chop it up, and I'll take away some ideas to make even more of that filthy Federal Reserve stuff.
Well, I want to thank you for all of your input, by no means am I attacking you. I'm just passionate about what I have learned, and thank you for letting me share with you. And I want to thank you also for the points that he brought up. So you have a nice evening.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Now we have gone through that one. I think Sister Ottawa has been waiting patiently to get her 2 cents in, so let me bring her in. Sister Ottawa, are you there? Sister Ottawa? Hello.
Let me see. Maybe she
okay.
stepped away.
Yeah, maybe she stepped away. But, All right. You know, that was some very good points on both sides of the aisle on that one, man. I'm telling you. Whew, man, I don't even know what even to say about that. Oh, my goodness. Jew, where you at? Maze, you there?
I'm still on. Tell Jew, I don't have an app for him.
You don't have it out
at
for
all.
Him?
No, I don't have an app. He said he had an app for me. I don't have one for his ignorant self. That's right.
Okay.
Get a passport and get out of here. I got my passport, but I'm happy here. I'm going to keep it until I want to travel. Other than that, I'm fine with the system I'm in because how many times have we been through this? And the people came through it 50 years ago and going through the same cycle again, and the same people that was here that's allowed to tell about it, and they're going to tell about the depression they had this time. And they'll be still around to tell about the last depression if they're still alive. And they
so
made it through and did well.
So you don't see a need to leave the country then?
No, I don't have a need to leave the country. When I get one, I guess if I have to, I will. But I don't. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. Because this world, we're just living in it, and we're going to have to live with what's in it and survive or either complain and sit back and lose our mind. And I'm not trying to do that.
Hmm. All right. So how do you feel? How do you feel about the 1 year salary that you have to have saved up?
I think you don't have to. You should have. Some people that can't have 1 year, they should have 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about those? Okay. So what about those that just, you know, as they're saying in the chat room, just can't keep a month, you know, a month saved up? You know, how do we work around that? Or do we just have to keep trying, huh?
Yeah, you have to keep trying and then find the things that you're wasting money on. Because in a lot of things you're wasting money on, you can buy stock in it and make money that way. Everybody drinks sodas.
Mm-hmm.
They got electricity. They purchase gas.
Hmm. Okay.
And when you're buying coffee, cigarettes, you can take that money and purchase something that's going to help benefit you.
Okay.
And then and some people that's rich and then they fall down. Like Donald Trump never had anything anyway. He just sells his name.
Mm.
That's all he does. He don't own nothing.
He owns nothing but his name, and he sells that.
That's
all
he
owns.
He put his name on a building, and that's it. And people used to think those buildings belonged to Donald Trump until I was in New York, and the person was saying Donald don't own nothing. He just owned a name and put his name on the building, and people think it belonged to him.
Hmm.
So some people are rich, and they lose it, and they lose their mind. Some lose it and start all over again.
So basically it comes down to what type of determination or motivation do you have then, correct?
Yes. Because
okay.
We can't do nothing about this system and what people are doing in it. You just got to learn how to deal in it and do what you can to survive through it.
Ah, okay.
And the next person come along, your grandchildren might be grown, or you might be some old person, 90 years old, and you can tell about the depression you were in and you still here. And when they're going through it, they'll understand what happened.
All right. I guess you can't say it any plainer than that. Huh?
Yeah. I sure can't. And tell Judy to put that one on an app.
Get out.
Get out.
Yeah. How you doing? This is a great show, great topic. I think there was a lot of great points made on both sides. I like what Sister May just said about what she said. And I have to kind of look at them, looking at both sides. I mean, you know, for too long, we are bringing up generations and generations cursed with the same curse that we've been cursed with because we refuse to sit back and really look at what's going on. We know all this stuff. We say that we know. We say that we've done all these studies and we've researched it. But nobody's being about the business. And it's all about that personal business. If we know all this stuff, then let's be about the business and handle the business to make it all better. You know, like my man was saying last night, and I listened to that State of the Union. He said, it's about what you know. You already know as a minority you've got to work 3 or 4 times harder. Well, if you already know that, go in it with that attitude but have a plan. Don't go in there thinking that it's just an even playing field. It ain't been, it ain't going to be. Earlier, we were talking about the Constitution. The Constitution wasn't even made for minorities, black folk, because you was a slave. So it didn't apply when they first wrote it. So why do we want to fall into this Constitution? We have to start looking. We say we want to look at stuff real. Let's look at stuff real, and let's build upon this stuff. Like I say, people are dying to get here. Why? Because this is the greatest country in the world where you can sit back with nothing and devise a plan and make something. East Coast was saying he's an electrician. Now, I don't want to just be an electrician. Let me think about taking maybe a little bit of that cash that I make on them little jobs that I might have for 6 months to a year and think about making and being my own house. See, it's always about advancement. I'm not trying to stay in one point. I'm trying to move to the next level. Can't stay at one level.
Mm-hmm.
If I keep staying at one level, I'm not going to go nowhere. And I'm defeating the purpose. So I go in here with this, I'm defeated. I can't win because everybody's against me. No, I'm not buying into that one. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
God.
Did I? Okay. Oh, did I hear somebody say thank God? All right. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, y'all. It's 4:30, and which is 4:30 my time, which means it's 5:30 or something Eastern time, which means we got to get up out of here, man. I'm telling you, y'all run me late every day. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Oh, Lord, who's got the dog? Anyway.
Yeah, that's that pit growling and grin. I talk to y'all later. Let me mute myself so he can sit back and have his fun.
All right. All righty. That was my cousin, Les Jackson. So anyway, let's give it the final words. Maze, your final words, ma'am.
Mr. Talk Aloud can say just like you say. Ooh, Lord have mercy. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maze.
Have a good one.
All right. Let's see. Mr. Solution, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening. No, good show, good show, great show.
Oh, it's a wonderful show. I'm glad that I gave you some laughs, Mr. Solutions.
What? All right. Jew, was
that
your last word?
Are we having technical? I haven't given my last word. I was on the phone making money. Are we having technical difficulties there, Mr. Talk?
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right. All right. So why does Mr. Solutions find me funny? There must be some kind of something wrong with the transmission here.
Well, Jew, we're just giving our last words, and thank you for your contributions. It's been a long time. It's good to hear your voice. Can you give us your last words, please?
Ooh. Yeah, it's all a trick. A friend of mine said to me, "Did you watch Obama's State of the Union speech?" I said, "What for? He's a liar. Why would I sit and listen to a known liar? Why would I want to listen to a known liar lie to me more? That's screwy, isn't it?"
Hmm.
And we get the lies from the thing. The people who invented Bitcoin, what are they doing now? Anybody who's using it or anybody who they can go after, they're now trying to throw in jail, right?
Well, Jew, did you know that J.P. Morgan owns the patent on Bitcoin?
I did not, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yes, sir, he does.
Hmm.
I think if the American people knew to what extent the government has been compromised, that the government has been made into a criminal element that comes after you, and remember, Mr. Solutions, that the reason they come after us as American citizens, as United States citizens, is the direct change made in 1933 to the Act of 1917, which is the Trading with the Enemy Act, and specifically making Americans, United States citizens, no longer being accepted out of the list of enemies. So we are now the enemy. And what do? To the enemy, they tax us, they regulate us, they give us onerous laws and what are those things, that silly stuff, that the ordinances, all of these things we're supposed to follow, and yet we're the country with the most people in jail. Apparently we don't follow too well. You still think I'm funny, Mr. Solutions? I'm curious.
No, he's gone now.
Where did he go?
On his bike ride, I guess. These were last words for the day, Jew. We got to get
and
up
he runs out and gets on a bike.
Yes, he gets on a bike.
Now, I used to know a guy by the name of Wrong Way Wooten. Anybody ever hear of that name?
Yeah, I heard of it. All right.
You heard of Wrong Way Wooten, really? Because he's a local where I live.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's a local where I live. You know what he does? He rides a bicycle backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
Does Mr. Solutions ride his bicycle backwards?
Well, I don't know. Next time you can ask him, okay?
Because Wrong Way Wooten used to ride his bicycle so much he had TVs on his bicycle. He could watch while he rode backwards. I think that's a good metaphor for everybody. I think everything is backwards.
Your last words, come back and see us.
Oh, yeah, I've never left Sister Nagonia. Father Bologna has always been here for you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Jews' alternate personality, Father.
All right, I'm glad to see it.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I think we got that. Most of the people on our show will have multiple personalities. I hate to say it.
I know
like
I
that.
Got a couple.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
You hear me, Eric?
Yeah, I hear you say you think you got a couple, right? Okay. All right, co-host of another outstanding show. I'm telling you, we get it in. I don't know how we do it, but we do it. I guess all the callers and the people in the chat room, they help us get there. Oh. All right, so your last words, co-host?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for coming again and for participating, and hope everybody enjoyed the show, and I'm wore out, so.
All right. Well, thank you once again. Love you to death. I mean, love you to life. Love you to life. I corrected it.
Do you want me to sing a song on the way out, Eric?
Huh? Yeah, sing a song on the way out. Yeah, go ahead.
Where is the love?
All right. Thank you. Oh, Antoinette, I corrected it, Antoinette. Okay, don't get mad. I caught myself on that one. I caught myself. All right, y'all. Well, it's another great day. It's another great day, another great show. And I'm telling you, another great audience. Man, I'm telling you, y'all the best listeners in the world. Y'all really are, because you're dedicated. And when I'm slacking, y'all pick it up and carry on for me. And I love y'all for that. I just had to give y'all my appreciation, let y'all know y'all all appreciate it. That's right. All right, well, I'm going to get up out of here. So, with that being said, 2 o'clock. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 o'clock Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. It's been fun. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation to someone, and forgive with open heart. If you can't, you haven't forgiven yourself, there's no way you can forgive anybody else. And keep laughing, you know, keep laughing. Antoinette told me I better record my laughter, so I'm gonna work on that a little bit tonight. But other than that, it's gonna be fun. So y'all have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'll see y'all tomorrow. I am out of here.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
The heaviest fighting of the past 2 weeks continues today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
19. In Vietnam, the combat soldier typically served a 12-month tour of duty, but was exposed to hostile fire almost every day.